Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia dealers of Ireland. Wherever the next 7 years bring you, Kia are with you all the way.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Katie Hannon with you until 3 o'clock. I think all of us were glued to the news at one there where the Taoiseach was giving us the latest on the decisions on whether or not schools in particular and society in general and what elements of it can remain open as we are now coming towards this huge surge in COVID. I think it's fair to say he all but confirmed that schools will not reopen next Monday. He was talking about making a decision that would have to preserve the school year, that we'd have to think beyond next week and the week after, and about sharing the concerns of the CMO about having a million people on the move. So what does that mean for all of us out there? Anna Iñáctan, good afternoon to you.
How are you?
Anna, your daughter's in Leaving Cert.
She is, and even before the announcement today, I have actually wrote a letter to the Minister for Education with concerns I have about her. She's doing her Leaving Cert. Her curriculum won't be finished properly. Teachers are rushing through everything online, basically teaching themselves at the moment, and I understand it has to be done online with the pandemic. But last year, Leaving Cert had their sixth year. They were in their sixth year done. Our students have basically missed fifth year, half of sixth year, and it's not looking like it's going to change anytime soon. And the uncertainty of whether they're going to do predictive grades, sit in an exam or anything like that, even getting back to school, is causing an awful lot of stress, I think, on my daughters and her friends.
Yeah, I'm just looking at what the Taoiseach said there in that interview. He said it's the government's commitment, our agenda right now for the Leaving Cert to proceed as planned in the traditional format. But of course, up to a week or two ago, it was the government's commitment to have children back in the classrooms next Monday. And obviously that is now changing in the face of the changing facts of where the pandemic is taking us.
Yeah.
How did your daughter manage last year? How did she find it when all school children were off school for those months?
Very stressful. She's quite good at sitting down and, they were doing Google Classrooms and getting a lot of work and self-teaching. And she's quite a good student and didn't find it too difficult in the beginning. But as it's going on, I can see the stress taking its toll on her. She's not sleeping very well. And she's worried about doing the Leaving Cert. She wants to go to college. She knows her points are high. As I'm sure a lot of the kids out there are in the same boat as her. But I know he can't give definites, but I mean, we know we're not going to get anywhere realistically in the next couple of months. Things aren't going to change too drastically. So make a decision now and let the kids know what they're dealing with. And that takes the uncertainty out, but although the pandemic is still going on around them, at least they know that they'll either be doing predictive grades or half and half or whatever decision he comes to. But he has to put their mental health first. I agree that COVID has taken over the country as such. It's the pandemic we're all living with, working and teaching and in all aspects of everyone's life. But I do think we need some certainty, and that's one certainty he could deal with now. Make a decision and let them know what they're dealing with. And at least they can knuckle down and either get ready for the predictive grades or half and half or wherever he decides. But this change in your mind every 5 minutes, it's not good for anyone's mental health, I don't think, at the moment. I think we're all suffering. Well, and I know it's out of his control, the pandemic, but the way they deal with it isn't. And I think the two certainties might go amiss now. A little bit of hope for the kids to know where they stand and what's happening.
And when you hear the Taoiseach saying there on the news that they are committed to having the traditional format Leaving Cert, you're not taking that on board?
No, and neither is my daughter. I wish you could talk to her now because I think you'd get a better view. She's not great at talking on the radio. Well, she's so angry now at the moment. It's very good easy for him to sit up there and say, well, he's doing this and he's doing that. He's not actually a child. The whole future depends on what they do when they're leaving to it. Now, I personally said to her, look, things we'll get around our leaving to it and all that. But she's a child who wants to do our leaving to it. Go on to do college, which a lot of them do. They're 18, their lives are starting. And the uncertainty is not good for them. I just don't think he's being specific enough. We're not getting any words of hope, I don't think. He has a parent and her as a student from him. I know he's getting different things told to him by Netflix and whatever. But I do think there's a few things he could knuckle down and say, well, yeah, this is what's going to happen. By saying that he wants the leaving cert to go ahead, in an ideal world, yeah, ideally, it should do, but it's not going to be. Teachers aren't going back to school. They're going to have people getting sick, people in and out. So I don't think they're going to get the full benefit of the teaching. No offence to the teachers, it's not going to be their fault either. But they're not going to get the full curriculum finished at a level it should be.
I think one of the things we did realise during the last lockdown, the last time that schools were closed, was that there was a lot of variance in the type of online work that was being made available to children. And obviously also depending on what kind of devices and all of that was available to families for their school-going children to use. What was the situation for your daughter?
Well, my daughter goes to a girls' school. So a lot of the YouTube and online things don't help her because they're all in English. She does everything through Irish. So it didn't help her, so she had to do a lot of that herself. You know, translating and all of that, which took longer. Now, I know that's her choice that she went to an Irish school, and I wouldn't change it, but she didn't have the same supports as maybe the English-speaking children might have done and learning. So she used the internet, as the kids do, as much as she could, but a lot of the stuff she had to do herself because of the Irish.
Am I hearing from you, Anna, that you would prefer, with the way things are right now, to just be told, look, we won't be able to do the leaving cert. We'll have to do the predictive grades.
Yeah, absolutely. And make allowances for the amount of time they've lost. Or come to some way, maybe, of being able to give them. I actually have told my daughter, I'll get her grinds, I'll do anything I can, even though they'll be online, to help her pass, get her leaving cert and get to college. And that's, I know that in a very small world, that's all my worry is at the moment, and her mental health. Because it's not good for her at the moment. She's not sleeping, she's not eating. And it's not only my daughter. That's, I have loads of friends with children of the same age group as Emma and Dune. Junior cert and leaving cert. And the junior cert, I know, there's not as much stress over because they were supposed to be doing predictive grades for that anyway this year. Well, they should have been doing it a couple of years ago. But definitely the leaving cert. Make the decision and leave it at that and let the kids do what they have to do. And maybe better give the classrooms or whatever. I don't know really what the answer is there, but definitely make a decision and let them live with it now and let them walk around it. The uncertainty is what's killing my daughter at the moment.
And is it that, really? I mean, is it other elements as well, like the isolation and the fact that you can't, you know, hang out with your friends and that? Because, I mean, that sounds very serious, really, if your daughter is having trouble sleeping, is not eating properly.
The other aspects of it, as you say, yeah, the meeting your friends, the normality of just going to school, getting up, doing your routine. I think a lot of people are feeling it as well, but I just think because of the year they're in. And then social media is great, but it's bad in the sense that they're getting all this thrown at them, that one person is saying one thing about the leaving cert, then someone that's, oh no, I heard something else. Then England have decided that they're not doing it this year. So they're getting all that bombarded at them as well. So I told her myself personally, I'm trying not to be on those sites at the moment and just kind of, well, it's very hard with children. That's their world now. Everything's done through, you know, Facebook, Snapchat, all that kind of stuff. But I do think making a firm decision now won't eradicate all the problems. They're still going to have the problems of learning and all that. But at least they know what they're dealing with. It's not the uncertainty's gone.
Yeah, and
I know that sounds very basic, but I think that would go a huge way to helping.
Yeah, I mean, you have to have some sympathy with the government as well in that they are in a very difficult position. They're damned if they do and damned if they don't in some ways in relation to this issue, because a lot of people really, really would rather their children or people themselves would rather sit the leaving cert rather than this predictive grade scenario.
And I would say that too, because my daughter actually does quite well sitting exam. It wouldn't be that she'd rather just get predictive because it's easier. She would rather be doing exams, but I don't think it's actually practical at the moment. You know, I really don't. And I mean, they can't even get them back to school, so getting them into an exam seems to be off the charts altogether in my mind. I mean, COVID is taking over everything, but it's like nothing else matters in the world. This is going to have a knock-on effect. When they get the vaccine and we're all out of this, we're going to have mental health, suicides. All of that has not been discussed. I know people hit on it lightly, but it's actually a very real problem. I'm very aware of a lot of people who are suffering at the moment. you know, with mental health because of the isolation.
Yeah.
And all of and all you hear on the news, you're bombarded. We're going to have this. We're going to have the changes every day. And it's. I just think we need a bit of hope and we need a bit of firm decision making in all respects, not just the leading chairs, in everything.
Okay.
You know, I work in a shop. I'm out there every day. I've been out there from day one. And thank God we haven't been, you know, we haven't had COVID in our family and such. So we're lucky. And I know other people haven't. But we just need some kind of firm guidance and certainty as much as we can.
Okay, okay. Will you stay there, Anne? I want to bring Mary into this conversation.
Yeah,
Mary,
no problem.
Good afternoon to you, Mary.
Hi, Maeve. How are you?
It's Katie. You're on to hear Mary.
Oh, Katie, sorry. My apologies.
You're grand. You think that there should be online lessons for school children from tomorrow?
Yeah, well, my opinion is in the first lockdown, you know, we knew no different. It was all very new. And to be fair, the teachers did come on board and they got on their platform with their online teaching to whatever level it was. So my frustration is now, as being the mother of, we'll say, a Leaving Cert student and a Junior Cert student in particular, but across the board with all children, and this was predicted by teachers verbally saying this to their students prior to Christmas, bring home all your books because the likelihood is we won't be going back to school.
Now, really? But were teachers telling the students that before Christmas?
It was reported, yes, it was reported. That this is what they were saying, to bring home the books in the event that they wouldn't be coming back after Christmas. Now, that's fine, and I understand the crisis, and I understand the risk. But why, as teachers, are they not ready and ready to rock it tomorrow online with students across all levels, primary and secondary levels, and in particular with the exam students? I'd just love to know what's the rationale behind not being ready to go tomorrow.
And Anna, or Mary, going back to what Anna was saying there, her issue really is the uncertainty around what's going to happen with those exams now, or particularly with the Leaving Cert exam. You have, as you say, one of yours is in Leaving Cert this year as well. Where would you stand on a decision now, whatever that decision would be?
There definitely should be a decision for the exam students in some shape or form. Be it online and continuous assessment, there should be some sort of a decision made because this virus isn't going anywhere. I believe this is the way it's going to be going forward for a period of time. We're going to have peaks and surges and we're going to be open and we're going to be closed again. So for the next 6 months, which will bring us up to that period of time for exams, I foresee that this is what we're going to be living through at the moment. So most certainly a decision needs to be made in some shape or form, and the teachers need to be teaching the children. That's what they're getting paid to do. And I appreciate if they're not able to do it face to face because of the risk, they should be on the platform of online learning as and from tomorrow.
And if that decision were, as you say, predicted grades, you would be okay with that?
Well, you know, the gun is to your head there. Like, what choices do they have? You know, if they can't sit their exam. Now, I don't know, in period of time, could it be that maybe the Leaving Cert could sit their exams in some safe environment going forward, and maybe the Junior Cert, maybe not. That would be an option. Now, it's a difficult option, and I appreciate it, but we have to make that plan. We can't just be... We're 9 months down the road, and we're no further on now.
And
we're actually no further on.
How are your two coping with everything that's been thrown at them the last year?
To be honest, I have a Junior Cert that I'd be very happy if he didn't have to sit the exam. But I have a Leaving Cert that wants to do well and wants to perform well and is studying himself, you know, for 3 to 4 hours every day presently. He's frustrated, I suppose, in that I suppose it's like preparing for something in the blind. He doesn't know what's going to happen to him or where he's going to go. The way that the 2020 Leaving Cert results went, the points escalated, so he's already trying to perform at a higher level than he would if that hadn't occurred. So for their own sanity and for the parents' sanity, because we're here to help them, and I have no problem, like, you know, students, you know, receive grinds online, so it is doable. As in relation to what they're going to do in relation to the Leaving Cert, it's a difficult one, and I appreciate that, a very difficult one to have it fair after the catastrophe of 2020, but the need to have a plan for them more or less now.
Okay, okay, we will move on from that one because I want to bring in Paul. Thanks for that, Mary. I want to bring in Paul. Paul, you're worried about your daughter.
Yes, 100%, definitely.
She's not in leaving cert.
No, next year. But right. this is the year that they prepare. This is the tough year. The fifth year before the year before the leaving cert is the tough year. But my concern is not only the schools, but like a lot of your listeners, they would have young boys and young girls who would be involved in Irish dancing, involved in GAA, involved in soccer. And all of this has been taken away as well. And now, we are now in a situation that, personally, myself, I think we may get to 31st of January. And I have a strong feeling because of the numbers and the rollout, the rollout of the vaccine. It's not going to be quick enough. So I feel that the closure of schools may be even extended beyond January.
Yeah, just to explain to people who didn't hear the Taoiseach there on the news at one, he said that they had already identified the 30th of January as a review date, and that would still be the review date of whatever decision will formally be announced in relation to school, which we absolutely now anticipate is going to be the closure of schools until at least that date. But as you say, it'll all depend on where the virus is at that stage.
But Katie, my main concern is not just my own child, but there's thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people in the country now worried. And the reason that I'm worried is because anything that my daughter was involved with in relation to sport, in relation to Irish dancing, and like many other families around the country, this has also been taken away. Now, my daughter, we're not allowed to leave the house now, basically. You know, you stay within 5 kilometres and you're restricted from even seeing family. And as I said, it's taken a toll and I can see it taking a toll. And I'm sure there's many families listening to your radio show today that are in the same position as what we are.
Well, and certainly that's what Anna was Anna describing, her daughter, you know, not sleeping properly, not eating properly. Is that the scenario you're seeing?
Well, not just that, Katie, but our lifestyle has changed. As parents, we would have maybe gone to Irish dancing twice a week. We would have gone to football training twice a week and then a match at the weekend. And, you know, this was my daughter personally is very, very sporty, extremely sporty, and loves her Irish dancing like so many young girls and children, boys and girls throughout the country. But this has been taken away. And she's got very, very lethargic, stays in her room a lot, and is not really interacting the way that she would have when she was able to do her sports and she was able to do the various different activities that she does.
You accept, though, that the schools will probably... What do you feel about that what we all expect to be the announcement about the closure of schools in that context, then?
Well, let's call it a spade a spade, Katie. The numbers are crazy, and it's just logical that the schools have to be closed. Because another concern, which I was saying to the researcher there earlier, one of my main concerns is that if you've got two parents working, there's an awful lot of families depend on grandparents because both parents are working, and I'm sure you've got situations where you've got children not going home to their own house, but maybe going to and staying with their grandparents till their own parents finish work. And the grandparents, like myself, I would be in a vulnerable category. And I'm sure there's lots of people in the same situation that I'm in. But then when you've got a child coming home from school, and in our area, there has been breakouts in schools in our area here in Ballyfermot. And my concern is that, you know, the children will be going home to grandparents and putting them into a very, very precarious position. That's yes. Another aspect of it.
Can I bring in, thank you for that, Paul. Can I bring in Calum? Calum, good afternoon to you.
Hi, thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, you're a student yourself.
Yeah, I'm a sixth-year student.
And were you listening to the Taoiseach there at lunchtime?
I heard the Taoiseach's statement, and I think it's very clear from the messaging of across the board from our governmental representatives is that there's a clear lack of clarity and lack of defined action and definite action on behalf of the government.
What do you mean by that exactly now, Caelan?
Well, I think that there's been an overall sense of uncertainty around all actions taken. I suppose specifically I'd like to speak about the reopening of schools, because when we look at that harsh dilemma of putting that on students, where they have to make the decision of placing their education over their personal health and that of their loved ones, that's a dilemma that no young person should be burdened with or faced with. But unfortunately, due to the lack of uncertainty and the lack of decision-making and forward planning from our government, we're faced with this reality.
But, I mean, the sense I got from that interview with the Taoiseach was that they are taking that decision out of your hands now. They are most likely going to announce the closure of schools. So would you welcome that then?
Yeah, I think there's one thing welcoming the opening of schools or closing of schools, but I think it's very important to note that it's going to have a severe impact on learning, especially those from a socioeconomic disadvantaged background and students with disabilities. But the main issue here is that there's no contingency plan. In March, we were faced with the first lockdown, and that had an immense effect on students and teachers as they were launched unprepared. In September, Minister Foley had the opportunity to sit down with her department and forward plan a best and worst case scenario. Best case scenario, schools were keeping open and students would sit their leaving cert and state examinations in June of this year. Worst case scenario, schools would have to close because of a rise. But now we're left with a similar situation to the first lockdown last year, except with an exponential increase in confirmed cases, higher community transmission levels and no close contact testing in our schools.
If the schools are closed, you know what the plan is in your school in terms of online support?
Yes, I do. And I think I'm in a very lucky position that I do have the digital infrastructure both at home, and teachers are technically trained in school as well to hold that. But I think it's important to note that a lot of teachers aren't. And in March last year, it was solely based on the motivation and technical ability of a teacher and the motivation of a student, and we're being launched straight back into that circumstance now because there's a lack of support and lack of clear and decisive planning from the government.
In terms of the Leaving Cert, again, I was quoting what the Taoiseach was saying in that interview, that the commitment is to have the Leaving Cert in the traditional format. And this is one of the reasons they're having to make decisions now, because they want to save the year. We have to think about the Leaving Cert of the examinations, he's saying. You have to think about the end of the term, not just for the next few weeks. Would you prefer to sit the traditional Leaving Cert?
Well, there's just under 60,000 students across the country planning to sit their Leaving Cert in June 2021. And as of now, the majority of us are either 3 to 5 weeks away from sitting our mock examinations and 155 days away from sitting our first Leaving Certificate paper, which is English Paper 1. And I think it's very unfair to look at this and say it's solely based on the reopening of schools and keeping students in school, because I think of the situation that we're currently in. And I tie back to a statistic that that RTE published on the Leaving Cert class of 2020, a survey that highlighted 46% of full students last year reported high levels of depression and anxiety due to the COVID-19 pandemic. And I believe that there will be a similar, if not more significant, pattern for students. And this is inevitably going to have an impact on the performance in exams and a student's ability to complete a whole set of Leaving Cert exams.
Like, do you feel that, you know, having been out of school for those months last year, do you feel that you are in the place you should be right now in terms of preparedness for your mocks and for your exams this year?
No, I don't. Not in the slightest. I believe that students have been launched into this. And I think it would be one thing if students had been equipped with the skills at a younger age, whether it be coping mechanisms with the issues that we see arising in terms of mental health, but also the digital literacy skills, because we launch students regardless of whether they may be vulnerable, whether they may have a disability, into a circumstance where they were solely dependent on a teacher being able to email and call them on days and send them homework through a computer. And I really don't think that's a way to prepare yourself for a Leaving Cert examination that defines the choices you make in the further years of your life.
Okay, will you stay there? I have another six-year student, Leaving Cert student, on the line. Mia McSweeney.
Hiya.
Hiya, Mia. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. I'm a bit stressed out, obviously, due to the news about schools closing. I mean, after hearing about England, they've cancelled their A-levels and GCSEs. So there's a lot of uncertainty, obviously, as we all know. We've been talking about it for ages, about the six-year students. And I feel like last year there was a lot of emphasis put on the students of 2020 that couldn't sit their exams. But, I mean, we kind of are in a worse place. We missed 3 months in fifth year. Now we're potentially missing another month. We've only missed 3 days as it stands. And there's a lot of uncertainty around, you know, mock exams, which are a great tool to help us prepare for our exams. But also, like, at the start of school, coming back in September, we were very stressed and afraid of compromising people at home, bringing stuff back in from schools. Our classes are cut 10 minutes short now to sanitise. And we are also sitting in classrooms with the windows open in the middle of winter. So even the learning conditions in school are proving as difficult as possible. And then online learning as well can also be difficult. So it's just, I don't think the students' voices are being heard the way they should be. No one's kind of asking, you know, how do the students feel about going into school? How do they feel about what's going to happen in June with their exams? No, I haven't heard any students being asked that question, especially by the government. And I think it's a shame, really, because our health is being compromised. And so is our mental health.
Can I ask you the same question that I asked Caelum, Mia? Do you feel that you have, you're at the right stage now in terms of the curriculum and the work you've been able to get done to face into your mocks and your Leaving Cert this year?
Unfortunately not. And I think with mocks in particular, we have only half of the course covered. So it would be an unfair representation of our abilities to sit a mock exam and, you know, for that to show off as well that we can do. I mean, we have...
Sorry, Mia, to cut across, but are you like way behind? I'm just trying to get a sense of where students
massively.
Are at.
Yeah. I mean, in home economics, for example, we've completed 16 out of, like, I think 30-something chapters. We have so much left to cover, but our teachers aren't actually spending the right amount of time that they should be when they're teaching. So we are getting fast run-throughs of certain aspects of the curriculum because we don't have enough time to cover them. And the changes that the government have made to the exam, the extra questions, our teachers have told us to attempt them all anyway to improve our chances of succeeding. And really, that's even more work than we need right now.
Can I ask you, you just mentioned there about the setup now in the school that it has to be with the windows open and everyone has their masks on. And have you gotten used to that to some degree? Because I think a lot of people would find it quite tough to go through the length of the day that you go through with a mask and say, cold classrooms in many
instances. Absolutely. We should really be getting a break, you know, in between classes to take off our masks and stuff. But when the weather is bad, unfortunately, we can't go outdoors to do this. So it is, you know, you find yourself very, very tired, getting headaches. You can't take a drink of water without leaving the room. So, like, that's very difficult. It's freezing cold in Ireland, as you know, we're a cold country. So if you're sitting outside the window, you know, you're more concerned about, are you going to get hypothermia rather than what's going on in the class? Because, you know, it's a lot on you.
And are you wearing your coats in the class?
Yes, we are. We are wearing our coats. But, I mean, me as a female, as a woman, I'm in a skirt and socks, so it's quite cold. Yes, we've been given the option to wear bottoms, but I feel like in terms of what other years have had before, you know, 2019, 2018, they had a perfect 2 years of learning in the right conditions, and they sat their exams. And I feel like we are not in the place to do that. So if we had even predicted grades as an option, And then if we weren't happy with that, to sit the exam and the subject, I feel like that would be a weight off students' shoulders.
So what you're saying, Mia, is that even if the plan is still to go ahead and have the traditional format Leaving Cert, that at this point the option should be also offered to have predictive grades as a side option?
Absolutely. I feel like, you know, we've heard, you know, the Department of Education saying that they know the stress that exam students in particular have been put on, you know, being assessed continuously and somewhat too much. You know, we are sitting exams in every subject nearly every week. So we're trying to do well in them, but also trying to prepare for the state exams. So it's a lot of stress. But I feel like if you are doing well and you are putting in the work early, then that's what's going to show you and your ability. So predicted grades would be the best. And if we weren't happy, to sit an exam as well.
Okay. Well, stay with us, everyone, because I do have to take a break, but we're getting a lot of calls in on this.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And you're welcome back. And I want to go now to Maeve. Maeve, good afternoon to you.
Hi, Katie. How are you?
Yeah, we were saying, where are the young voices in this? And we have plenty of young voices today. Tell me, you're in Leaving Cert yourself.
Yeah, I'm a Leaving Cert student in Cork.
And were you listening to the Taoiseach there?
Yeah, I have been. And to be honest, I think if the closure of schools is the necessary action needed for public safety at the moment, then that's what needs to happen. But I think for Leaving Cert students especially, there needs to be clear, concise plans put into place and just a general greater sense of guidance given to us about our exams in 5 months' time.
Again, would you agree with Mia's suggestion there that there should be the option now given to all Leaving Cert students that if they want to do predictive grades, that should be open to them?
Yeah, personally, I do agree with that. I think that at least if the option is given, some students might prefer to sit the exams themselves. But I know personally for myself, predicted grades would be the better option of the two for me.
That mightn't suit everybody, though, Maeve. You know, a lot of people maybe do very well in exams and would prefer to have that option. And obviously, we know that a lot of the points went up this year because of the predictive grades system being put in place.
Yeah, completely. I understand that. I completely understand that sitting physical exams would suit a lot of students better. And I think that is the case for a lot of people. And that option needs to be given to us, really. We're after missing out on a huge chunk of our fifth year learning, not to mention in coming months we might also miss out on a huge chunk of our sixth year, and not having that support bubble of physical contact with other people, seeing our friends. This is really one of the toughest years of our schooling, and I think that the lack of support from other people is really showing up in students' mental health. I know just from my friends and seeing people around me, and I think from a government that claims to support mental health as their priority, there really just needs to be more support given and better planning, really, just for sixth year students especially.
Do you know what's going to happen in terms of your class now and your school in relation to online learning if as we now believe you will not be back in school on Monday?
No, we haven't heard any communication from our school as yet, because I think as well it's really tough on our teachers at the moment. We're all putting our health at risk firsthand, and I think for teachers as well it's a huge problem for them. They're not getting the support they need either from the government, so there has been a barrier of communication from teachers to students because they don't know what's going on either. But as of yet, we haven't heard anything from our school.
Would you accept, Maeve, that this, I suppose, we're dealing with a virus, it's a moving target, if I can put it that way. It's people didn't, I suppose, really anticipate the sort of numbers that we've seen since the new year in this surge. So would you, you know, give the government that much leeway in terms of that they couldn't plan for something they didn't see coming?
Yeah, I understand that. It's very difficult, the pandemic changing every day. We never really know what's going to happen. But I think that the one thing that we can plan is support for our students. I understand completely that it's ever-changing and a lot of people didn't see this coming, and we expected ourselves to sit a normal sixth year, a normal year as previous years have done. But I think with mocks coming up in a few weeks and orals shortly following after that, we've missed out on a huge chunk of practice, and just our learning in general has really been jeopardised. But I understand it's very hard to foresee and to plan. But I also think that the government should be making calls early on so they can make those decisions. Like, for example, in the UK, cancelling their A-levels and their GCSEs, they've made those calls early on so they can put systems in place. They can give students that reassurance that we all need at such an uncertain time. I think we need to grab onto any certainty that we can at the moment.
Okay. Okay, well said. I want to go to Kieran McKenney. Kieran, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
You're in Leaving Cert as well?
I am a six-year student. I want to come on quickly and say how unfair it is. It's not feasible. It's not realistic to go ahead with the Leaving Cert for 2021. We're continuously doing assessments and tests. We're exhausted of the unknown. As I said, it was unrealistic. There's practicals, orals, mocks, and even field trips that are coming up for geography, which is 20% of our actual Leaving Cert. Our mental health has gone to bits since it's the unknown. I understand the government are facing the unknown as well, but I seen someone come on the other day and discuss how it's very important that they should not be putting education before health, and that is so much more important than needs to be understood. Students are crying out for their voice to be heard. It's not fair. We've had two-year course, fifth year and sixth year, and fifth year is mainly where you do the main bits of your course. We have missed 3 months in fifth year, and God knows how long we're going to continue to miss now in the six-year process. As I've already discussed with you, mocks are coming up next month. It's not feasible. It is not fair for them to go ahead, and it would definitely not be realistic for them to go ahead and make us sit a mock paper on top of a Leaving Cert with the cases that high. I understand, as you were saying, how it's the unknown. And I have a platform as well with Irish TikTok and influencing, etc. And I have reached out to students who are begging to be heard. And this is why I'm on today, because the Irish government, the Minister of Education, Department of Education, need to listen to the students. There's many parents out there who can judge and sit there and go, oh, schools are a safe place. They only see as far as the gate. They say goodbye to their children at the gate and the children go into school. We have the windows open. We miss out on so much course time. We have to wear masks constantly. We're exhausted mentally and physically. What are you going to do if someone misses out school because of COVID-19? You're missing more time. Someone is a close contact. They have to go home, isolate for 10 days to 2 weeks. It's not feasible to go ahead with these exams.
Is it just as you describe it there, as you say, a lot of us don't see inside schools now, and even less so than we might have done before, because we are not allowed past the gate unless we have a good reason to get in. Is it very stressful, a very stressful environment now for students and, of course, for teachers as well?
Well, I want to firstly say, before I go into discussion, when it comes to the environment with schools and teachers, teachers and students are doing their best. Teachers are constantly reminding students to wear their masks, etc. There's a lot of vulnerable students in school that suffer medical conditions, as well as teachers. And there was that debate a few weeks ago whether school is safe to go back in terms of workplace environment, etc., and see is it actually safe. I think we have to look at the bigger picture here. You're wearing a mask for 6 to 7 hours a day. We do get mask breaks, and teachers are very compliant with that, and they are very fair. But it's simply not fair, and it's not feasible to go ahead with these exams. As I said to you, we're going through two lockdowns now. This is our third lockdown that we're actually officially after going into. How are we expected to stay at home and study 4 to 5 hours per day, 4 to 5 times per week, and actually go ahead with these exams with a clear, open mind? See what happened last year. They were made study up until the last minute. They even pushed the exams on even longer into their summer holidays, which was not their fault, which they didn't actually have to do, but they did it for their own Leaving Cert, for them to cancel it on the last minute. I'm not asking for predicted grades. I'm not asking for us to do the Leaving Cert. There should be an option, but I'm asking here today for reassurance and some type of feasibility that it's unrealistic, and we need some type of communication, clarification and reassurance as soon as possible. It's not fair.
As you say, you're on TikTok, you're in contact with a lot of young people. Is there a sense out there that you're just being left to your own devices?
Well, do you know what? I've reached out to a lot of people, and it's not just TikTok, it's Instagram as well. And most of the people are saying, cancel it, cancel it, cancel it. Now, there has to be more to it than just cancel it. I'd love to find out their opinion behind the whole situation of actually why they want the Leaving Cert to be cancelled, what their reason is, because everyone has their own reason. But there needs to be an option. Google Classroom, fair enough, it's great, but not all teachers and students are going to be complying to doing online classroom and to doing online Zoom calls. I seen it firsthand last year. We stuck to Google Classroom in my school. It's not feasible to do it all. And as you know yourself, people learn in different ways, different methods. Sitting at home on a computer is not going to be as productive as being in a classroom with your colleagues, with your classmates, with your teachers, in a clinical environment with the resources available, such as the teacher there to help you, facilitate you and support you through what is going to be a very emotional and very tough and productive year.
Okay. Okay, Kieran, thanks for that. I want to bring in Mary. Mary, you've got twins, is it? You've twins doing the Leaving Cert.
That's correct, Katie. Yes, I have twins doing the Leaving Cert this year, and I'm so delighted that you've brought up this subject, because I feel that this year's Leaving Certs really have been completely forgotten and abandoned in some senses. The level of stress and anxiety and extra challenges that they're having to face this year. Now, I don't doubt last year's was extremely difficult for the Leaving Certs and all the disruption that it entailed. But this year's Leaving Certs really are, you know, from the word go, when they went back in September, they were facing a very difficult teaching environment with all the new restrictions with masks and that it entailed. But they also were trying to catch up on a lot of lost time. Now, the Leaving Cert course is very intensive as it is, but with this, the current situation, it's making it so much more difficult. And, you know, I worry that this hasn't been acknowledged by the department, and I think the lack of clear communication is adding to the stress for the students and the teachers as well.
What was the setup last year when your two children were off school? Was there?
Well, I suppose last year, Katie, the schools weren't prepared for a situation like this, so it did take some time to bring around facilities for online teaching. And in a lot of cases, everybody was working from home, and a lot of the teachers may or may not have had good broadband facilities, and a lot of the houses may or may not have good broadband facilities. There wasn't enough facilities in some homes. You might have had three or four children working. In my case, I had four children, two in college and two doing the Leaving Cert, that all needed computers to be able to work off to do online learning.
And you've got a good case study, actually, because you have the twins there, both doing the Leaving Cert. Would they have different teachers, obviously? Would they wouldn't be doing all the same courses, would they?
No, they wouldn't, no.
And was
they're in two different schools, so they both have their own challenges. But, you know, there is nothing to replace the interaction of a classroom environment. And, you know, online teaching does not suit every student. And, you know, this is where I would have serious worries, in the fact that even if you do judge people and go on the predictive grading of last summer, not everybody's teaching experience from March to June was the same. And not every child had the same experience or same chance or possibly the same kind of environment for learning. So, you know, if you go for predictive grades, you know, how do you allow for this? I don't know what the solution is, really, to be honest, Katie. But my concern really is as a parent, the level of anxiety due to the uncertainty surrounding the Leaving Cert.
I mean, what I'm getting very strongly from all the Leaving Cert students that have been in touch with us now today is just call it one way or another. Just tell us what it's going to be and we can work towards that. Would that be... Would you be okay if the call was predictive grades?
I think at this stage we do need a level of certainty. I mean, in some cases there's projects that would have been due to have been started long ago that haven't commenced yet. And some students are kind of saying, you know, we're going to have predictive grades and you know, there's no point in even trying. And I think there's a kind of an element of maybe throwing your hat at it at this stage, because they just feel they're not going to achieve their potential. You know, I mean, the department, I know in a lot of cases, have given the option of an extra question on the exam papers to cover the fact that courses will be covered differently in different schools and all the course will not be covered. But to be honest, I don't think that's adequate to allow for the disruption that this year's Leaving Certs have had to contend with. And I think there has to be real efforts made to allow for the disruption in teaching that has gone on across the board. The teachers are doing their best. You know, they're in a very difficult situation and they're working under horrendously stressful conditions, trying to get courses covered. That just isn't doable. You know, and I think there has to be some allowance here for the mental health of the pupils. And I really wonder where that is being addressed. There is nothing about how the children are coping. It is so, so difficult for the children themselves. I've never seen the level of stress that I have seen before in this year's Leaving Certs. I think it's dreadful. I really worry about the students. Yeah. They've had a lot of extra issues to contend with, and I don't think they're being taken on board.
And I suppose the main thing there as well is that they don't have the same kind of support networks that they normally would have, as in their friends and that sort of support that when you're that age is so important to you.
Yes, usually all the outlets that they would have to get a bit of relief from stress are all closed to them. They can't meet their friends. You know, usually Leaving Cert year can be a fantastic year. They have all the DEBS fundraisers and, you know, all the sports and the different things they do. Everything has been closed off. And it's not just this year. It's been closed with a long time to them now. Since last March, it's been a really, really long struggle. And we all remember being that age and looking forward to going out. And Leaving Cert is a great bonding year as well. It's the last year of secondary school. And all that's been taken away from them. You know, even from the point of view of they've had to deal with mental health issues, and there has been occasions where there has been suicides or in people in relation to the school, maybe a parent or a family member, and they found it very hard to get support in the school because the organisations cannot come to the schools now. So it's very, very hard to get support for the students like what you would have been able to do in previous years. So I really feel, you know, somebody has to think here of the students. There has to be the onus on their health.
Okay. Mary, thanks for that. It's certainly a theme that we're getting very strongly today. I'm going to take another break there, but we'll come back to this after these.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And you're welcome back. Kathleen, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Katie. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, you want to make a few points before the Taoiseach and the Cabinet make their decision on schools.
I do indeed, Katie. But I'm ringing really as a very vulnerable parent of an SNA, and I would like them to consider, if there is a lockdown, if they are closing all the schools, that they also close the schools for special needs. That teachers and assistants who go into special needs schools also have children. Where do their children go if the creches, preschools are closed? They're coming home to parents who perhaps, like myself, are extremely vulnerable. What are they coming home with? We then have to isolate from our children. My son and his wife and two children are living with us at the moment while their house is renovated. I don't know what is going to happen if the SN, if the special needs schools are allowed to stay open.
Just to explain, Kathleen, that the Taoiseach indicated that when they do make the decision, the closure of all schools is on the agenda, but they will be looking at all special education and will have further engagement with the sector to see what measures can be taken to help families with children with special needs in particular. So, and we know that the Ombudsman for Children issued a statement today saying that, you know, asking the Cabinet not to have a blanket closure of schools because it would have a disproportionately negative effect on children with disabilities and children from disadvantaged backgrounds. But you're saying there's fallout from that, because if those schools remain open, is it your daughter that's the special needs assistant?
It's an actual fact, it's my daughter-in-law.
Your daughter-in-law.
But they are living with us, let's say. But it's not even that, it's the parents of all teachers, you know, who are now elderly, could I say, that are they going out to school at the risk of causing one of their parents to become ill and perhaps die if they are vulnerable? My husband, for example, has had four cancers and has come through the four of them.
My God.
You know, I have Addison's disease. So that why her own parents, her mother has COPD. What I'm trying to bring across to the government is, Katie, that all teachers, be they SNA teachers, be they in ordinary school, they all have parents, they all have families. And so we're in an emergency situation, as I see it now, where the pandemic is concerned. That it is really, it's like a war zone. We have all been asked to stay indoors. We've been asked not to go out unless it's absolutely necessary. And we do that. But if somebody comes in, we haven't allowed anyone into the house over Christmas, nobody. But if somebody comes back from school with the illness, with the disease, we have no control over it. We wear masks all the time while we're talking. If my son or daughter-in-law comes into our sitting room, for example, they're wearing a mask. The little children are wearing masks. What more can we do? And then they have to go into a place where there's total exposure. Because, God love us, I mean, I totally empathise with any parent who has a child with special needs. But they don't understand about social distancing or wearing masks or anything that way. So that's out the door as far as that's concerned. So I would really, really like to impress on the government to take all of this into account when they're making their decision. Isn't it tomorrow they're making the decision, or is it today?
It's tomorrow. We'll find out about it, I think. There is a meeting happening today. You just think that, as you say, if special provision is made for children with special needs or with disabilities, that there has to be staffing to deal with that, and that there may be consequences for those staff and for their families in that scenario.
I do. That's exactly it, Katie. That staff have to be taken into account also.
Okay. Okay, Kathleen, many thanks for that. You made your case very well there. And best of luck with everything. You're obviously taking huge precautions. So, as I say, I wish you the best of luck as we go forward in this. And I want to bring in Anne. Anne, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. Katie, can you hear me okay?
Yes, perfectly.
Oh, good. How are you?
Very well, yeah. So your point is at the other side of this then.
I've just got Kathleen's end of point there, and she's obviously feeling very vulnerable at home in terms of her daughter-in-law working in the SNA industry. And I suppose my own situation is not unlike hers in terms of my own concerns. So I thankfully am living in a vulnerable home, but my concerns are for other people who might be in the similar situation to me who are. So basically speaking, I have a 21-year-old daughter. She's involved in the childcare industry. She has, of course, gone back to work over the course of the last couple of days. And some of her concerns that she has been coming home to me are the lack of guidelines from management and, I suppose, the minister as to who they should and should not be taking in their doors in terms of who is essential care workers and what children they should be looking after this week.
Yes, yeah, so so the situation this week is that creches are only supposed to be open and available to essential workers and healthcare workers.
Ideally, yes. Now, without naming any names or whatnot, but my information is that some of the parents that are using the facilities that are connected to my own family are in fact teachers.
Teachers who, of course, yes. as we've been talking about for the last half an hour, we know are not working this week.
Exactly. It's my understanding that teachers have been asked to stay at home this week. Now, I know it's an ongoing situation. It's revolving the whole time. The minister the Taoiseach has only addressed us at lunchtime about it. But when the creches opened yesterday, being Monday for the first time since the Christmas holidays, we were all under the understanding that the schools, of course, did not open with them because the schools have been asked to stay closed for essentially what has been a circuit breaker. And that, of course, was for this week. That's how things stood. So I just cannot understand why teachers in particular would send their children to a creche facility on Monday morning. And the same families use the facilities today as well. I know the same families are in this particular facility that I'm speaking about today. So,
okay, and you're just particularly, you have a particular issue because you think if you are a teacher, you don't have work commitments this week, so therefore you should mind your own children. Is that and you know keep the creche safer for children that need to use it?
Absolutely. I mean, the people that are involved in childcare are wonderful people, like all people that work with children across the board, including the teachers. But we will be asking the people involved in the childcare facilities to stay open for as long as they can. I've no doubt that every parent all over the country probably now has their childcare workers on a very high pedestal after their experience earlier on in 2020 of March when all these facilities
were
closed.
That's for sure, indeed.
And parents were both working and minding their own children at home. And it is a difficult situation, and I really do feel it. But my daughter is putting herself in a situation to care for these children. There's lots of people that can care for their children at home. And yes, the situations I get are not ideal. It is very difficult. But if we continue to take advantage of these wonderful people that are caring for the younger generation, they will not be able to stay open for frontline workers who genuinely need them. We need the frontline workers to stay in work in order to care for us. But we have to support the people that are supporting them. It's a knock-on effect. And I'm actually just quite annoyed and upset that as a society that we cannot behave in a better manner. And it's not just the teachers. I'm sure there's lots of people that are in a better situation to have their children at home that probably are not doing that this week.
Okay, so your message is if you can at all care for your own children at home in these circumstances, don't send them into the creche where your daughter is being asked to put herself at risk.
And everybody else. I think we should be looking after each other. I think the we're all in it together mentality might have dropped off a little bit. And I think it'd be really nice if we could all step up to the plate and seriously knock this out of the park. Because as we know, the numbers are absolutely rampant. And everybody up and down the country, we're all in a very difficult situation. But we have to help each other in order to get through it.
Indeed. Okay. Anne, many thanks for that. I have to go to another break.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Adam, good afternoon to you.
How are you doing?
You're in Leaving Cert as well.
I am a Leaving Cert student.
Okay, so what do you think about where you're finding yourself today?
It's a joke, to be honest. I woke up this morning. I was pretty upset from the news about the traditional Leaving Cert, and I was going back to school at the end of the month, straight to Mox.
Sorry, when you say the news this morning about the traditional Leaving Cert, what do you mean by that?
About sitting the exams after us missing the same time as people last year and then more this year.
Oh, the idea that we're still planning, if we can, to have this traditional Leaving Cert. You don't think that that's a runner now, do you?
Well, I hope it isn't. I think you should have a choice to do predicted grades or sit a traditional exam.
You just don't think that you're ready, that you've enough work done or you've enough...
Not at all. Like, there's so much pressure on all of us to do it, like, do you know what I mean?
And what kind of, what haven't you done, basically, in terms of the course?
There's orals, there's mocks, and there's projects. The project deadlines have all been pushed forward, and we've no clue. We're completely left in the dark. We don't know what to do, what's going on, and we've heard nothing about it. And then we're supposed to be going back to school at the end of this month, straight into mocks. Like, to get where I'm coming from, it's a lot of pressure.
Yeah. And I suppose the question mark now is, will you be able to do mocks if you know, these decisions about opening the schools are pushed forward?
I don't think so. Not enough time. Not fair on the people like who can't, because people are doing like grinds and stuff during the breaks. It's not fair on the people that can't afford going to the grinds.
And tell me, what are the teachers telling you? Do they have they any kind of sense of where this might end up?
Don't think so. Same as me and you. Teachers are just saying though, like they're just going to treat it like it is, like we're doing an exam at the end of the year.
Yeah, and of course that is what happened last leaving cert year. The decision on whether to not have the leaving cert as in the traditional format was made quite late in the day, because
yeah,
I think they were the government obviously was hoping, the department was hoping against hope, that they would be able to hold the leaving cert in the traditional way, but that obviously wasn't possible last year. At what point did you start thinking this is not going to work this year either? We need to have predicted grades.
At the start of the year, I was thinking, like, how is it going to work? What was going back to school and all? But then before Christmas, I actually thought, like, this is grand. We could probably do a leaving cert. But now with all the cases going up in the past few days, and then when we heard about schools not reopening and stuff, I was thinking, like, this isn't going to be possible, especially with the mocks at the start of the year. I think the mocks are very important.
Yeah, and just to explain to people, I suppose the mocks are important because it's the only kind of chance you have to do a dry run, really,
yeah,
to get a sense of how long it'll take you to do every paper and all that.
And especially with last year, like, we missed half a year as well. Like,
yeah,
the mocks was our one chance to get the grips with it.
And do you have a course in mind, a points total that you need to get to at this stage?
I do, yeah.
And you're worried that that's not going to be achievable in a leaving cert format?
Well, not at the moment, no, unless there's some change made.
So if you were talking to, if you had Norma Foley, the minister, in front of you right now, what would you say to her?
That we need to sort it out with the schools and just make sure we have an option for everyone who wants to sit an exam, and people who want to do predicted grades. It's the only fair way.
Right, OK. OK, thanks for that, Adam. I want to bring in Aoife Devlin. Aoife, good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
You also think it's time to offer students the option of predictive grades?
I don't actually, in like the way everyone else has been talking about it, because what's all in my mind, to be honest, is when we came in September and the way the teachers were telling us about how hard it was for them to do predictive grades last year. So I just feel like we need to think of, I do agree that there's so much pressure and stress in the country with the leaving cert, and especially with like going off school now. But I think offering the option of predicted grades or leaving cert wouldn't work, because when you look at how the grades were inflated by predicted grades last year, those grades would typically be higher than what you would get if you set a leaving cert.
Oh, I beg your pardon, Aoife. I'm misrepresenting your point of view. So you actually think predictive grades is not the answer?
Okay, in the current format that they were done last year, I wouldn't like want that at all for myself. And I was speaking to a lot of my friends from across the country as well before I came on, and I was actually, one of the reasons I came on was I was really surprised that every single one on here was asking for predicted grades when none of my friends were at all. I think it just depends on like where you are with your grades. I know when we came in September, it was like all hell broke loose, to be honest, because the teachers weren't sure if we were going to be getting predicted grades next year. They were all stressed. They didn't want to give them to us. But then we were being over-tested. So what was happening was there were students getting tests in every single subject every week, just in case, just so they'd have enough marks to like grade us on. And everyone was absolutely like coming down with the stress.
Yeah, I was going to say, because that test then becomes a completely different test than in a normal fifth year or leaving cert year, because suddenly, with the possibility of predictive grades on the horizon, that could be an important test for your final result.
Yeah, completely. Like, there's days, like, say if you were out as a close contact for 14 days, and I know there's massive problems with that, because there's no like staple thing in place to say, oh, this is what a student needs to receive when they're isolating for 2 weeks. One of my friends was out and she didn't get any contact from the teachers for 2 weeks. And like, if you come in from that and you're expected to sit a test on material you didn't cover and that ends up going towards your leaving cert, there's serious problems there.
Yeah, I can see how that can complicate matters hugely. And I think that is an ongoing issue, that idea that in the absence of a final decision being made, that every single test in every single subject, every single week, could be, suddenly a hugely important test.
Yeah, so like what you said there, final decision, I think that's what we all need. I know like the ASTI, when they signed the contract, it stipulated 1 year. Like, they aren't going to be happy if the government decide at the last minute, you know what, uh-oh, there's loads of students unhappy, we better make predicted grades. Because when they signed the contract last year, it said 1 year of predicted grades, we're not doing another year. So I just want the decision to be made now, what we're doing, maybe add more changes to the Leaving Cert, because in a lot of subjects, the ones that have been made really aren't worth much. In my ideal, like, completely idealistic, if I was thrown out there, what I would want would be maybe, to review the predicted grades, ramp it up, maybe for them to produce predicted grades for by the month of May. You don't get to see them or anything. Everyone can do the Leaving Cert, but with a no detriment policy, so that you can't actually, that like mental health thing wouldn't really affect you that much. If like, because I know for me, for all my friends, like it's just the stress of the constant stress of the like pandemic and not wanting to bring it home to your parents and stuff, is really like, people are really struggling to do the exams. So I just like want them to think outside the box, like not think of like stuff that could have been done previously, but think about like what we could do now with the ever evolving situation. But I think the decision needs to be made now. Like I heard Micheál Martin talking and saying, oh, it is our stance, the Leaving Cert will go ahead. Sure, last week it was the stance, the schools will be open next week. Joe McHugh last year, the Leaving Cert was going ahead up till May. Like they were still saying that. So, like, no offence, but I really don't find it easy to believe them at this stage with what's going on.
Well, as you know, we had a minister yesterday telling us the schools were definitely going to open on Monday.
I was listening to that, yeah.
And I suppose, yeah, this is a developing situation, I suppose. So there will be changing policy. But yes, I do take your point. It is difficult to take on board pledges and commitments that were being given in relation to this. Will you stay with me? Because I've got Rachel on the line who does think that predictive grades have to be an option. Rachel.
Hi, how are you? I'm a junior cycle student at the moment and we are wasting a ton of time. We're really behind on our coursework and it's only because of one reason, because the CBAs, the classroom-based assessments, are still going ahead. And these are basically projects that the junior cycle students have to complete, and it's not worth any percentage of your final grade. The government ditched that because of coronavirus, but still decided to go ahead with the project. So it's taking up time where we could have been revising, we could have been actually doing the coursework, and all of my teachers are panicking, all the students are panicking, and there's no way that the mocks can go ahead if we're still working on CBAs and we haven't started revision yet.
And this is the new project work that has been introduced in the new junior cycle, is it, Rachel?
Yeah, so basically they're called classroom-based assessments and they're just projects that you do. And originally you would get a descriptor, which was just a word, and then you would also have to do an assessment task, which was worth 10% of your final grade. But now the government has decided that they don't want to do the assessment task. They'll just do the project.
But you still have to do the project. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, Rachel, I am going to have to take another break. Many thanks for that.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And that is all we have time for today. Today's programme was produced by Annette Egan. Tommy O'Sullivan was on sound. Maeve Mooney is the BCO. Joe is back in this seat tomorrow. But until then, have a nice evening.